feel that ocean side is brilliant this time of year. So maybe you and I could go there. We could disappear. We had so many plans, but you crushed them in your hands. A real man would have broke the news himself. They tell me you're somewhere in California, watching all the pretty girls go by. How dare you be somewhere in California? Could you not have found a better place to waste your time? Said I'd never make it to the coast so far, that's true. I think the thing that bothers me the most is you think it belongs to you. You went along with every word I said, messing with my heart and head. You stole my dreams and kept them all for
California by Katie Topham. Man, I just love that song. Katie just happens to be my very special guest this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
My guest this week possesses a beautifully unique voice that is as real and authentic as the song she sings. Powerful and poetic stories of love, life, and everything in between. Her solo acoustic shows are intimate, nuanced, and engaging. She has played several big festivals, and she was selected for the CCMA Songwriter Showcase in 2012 and the Virtual Diamonds in the Rough Showcase in 2020. She released her first EP with famed producer Rick Hutt in 2014, and she is now set to release her first full-length album this year. I am so thrilled to welcome to Musicians FAQ, Katie Topham.
Okay, so joining me on Musicians FAQ this week, it's Katie Topham. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. Excited to have you here. We were just chatting a little bit before the show. We hadn't had a whole lot of time to do some pre-show chatting, but you and I had known each other from previous lives when you were beer repping and I was managing a bar. And that's
this
when we
very true.
Yeah, so that's when we first met. And it was funny because of probably not more than 10 minutes into our conversation, as you were kind of showcasing your products and we were getting to know each other, you mentioned music as a passion, as a hobby, and something you were doing on the side. And I'm like, hey, me too. And then we discovered that, you know, Oh, you're Jamie Warren's daughter. I actually knew your dad 30 years ago before you were born, but I didn't know him well. But I mean, him and some friends would come out and jam with us occasionally when I think it was just kind of when he was launching his career. Now that's taken off. And now as you're getting your career going, it seems to be on a pretty uphill trajectory as well. You've released some killer songs over the last couple of years, and you've been co-writing with some fantastic people. And I'm just excited to get a chance to talk with you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's you're making me feel real good. It was really great when we first met to learn that we had that musical connection, and it's cool that that's kind of come full circle and we're working together now, which I think that's awesome. I'm really excited to talk to you today too. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, good. Well, like what I want to do is go right back to the very beginning, sort of, you know, where you were born, where you grew up, what your childhood was like, what kind of music was around in your life that kind of steered you into this this career that you're on now.
Sure. Okay. Wow. My childhood. Start at the beginning. Okay. I was born in Kitchener. So I'm from here. I've never really lived anywhere else. I lived in Barrie for a short period of time when I went to college, but other than that, I've always lived here. When did music start becoming a part of my life? I mean, it always really has been. As you said, my dad is Jamie Warren, who's a country musician. And so I've kind of always been surrounded by music, with the different artists who would come over and write with my dad and stay with us when different things were happening in town, or, you know, they were recording with Rick Hutt at the studio, so they were staying with dad. And so it was cool growing up around that much music. My grandparents, my dad's parents, were also very musical as well. They were both really musical in the church. The first person actually to teach me anything on guitar before my dad even did was my grandfather, my dad's father. Yeah. He taught me to play You Are My Sunshine.
Nice.
On guitar. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was always surrounded by a lot of music. I've been asked this question in interviews before, and I think it's, everybody always finds it interesting when I tell them that I was never really forced to play an instrument or anything. Like, nobody ever made me go to lessons.
And, right.
You know, I almost kind of wish they had. But because maybe I'd be Jimi Hendrix by now, you know. regardless, it was a genuine love for music. Like, just watching my dad do what he did, I knew from a really young age that this is what I wanted to do. I had this plan since I was a child that this is what I was going to do with my life. I was going to sing in front of people for a living, and that was that. So
that's interesting, because that's usually one of the questions I kind of get to down the road a bit. You know, as people are talking about their teenage years and kind of when they really start getting into music, and, you know, at what point did you make that decision? But in a few cases, people just knew from the start. I mean, that's crazy.
I felt like I did from when I was a kid. You know, I wanted to perform since I was a little kid. I was involved in, I grew up going to Catholic school. And my grandparents did the church thing. And so I sang in my grandmother's choir, at the church in Hanover every Christmas. And I grew up going to St. Agatha School, and I was in the Christmas pageants every year. And anytime there was a talent show, I would sing for that. And I think the first time I ever performed live, I was actually 8 or 9 years old. I have a picture of it. I know that the audience can't see, but maybe you can see.
Yeah, well, cool.
I have a picture of the first time I ever performed. It was at Lulu's, actually.
No way.
And Jason Barry had a show happening at Lulu's, matinee that afternoon, so kids were allowed to come, and my dad had brought me, and they had recently just discovered that I could sing, and so they brought me up on stage, and they asked me to sing, and I sang the Dixie Chicks' Tonight the Heartache's on Me, and at the end of the song, everybody said, encore, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't know any more songs.
It's only one.
But I remember singing an original song a cappella at a talent show at school when I was 12. So yeah, I pretty much have always known that this is what I want to do.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, you could have broken out, I guess, You Are My Sunshine as your encore. That would,
Oh, hey, there you go. I didn't even think of that. See?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. I mean, I love that song. I used to sing it every night to my son when he was just young, and you know, and still do occasionally if he's struggling to get to sleep some nights, I'll go in and we'll sing some songs and things like that. So yeah, it is sweet. I mean, it's just funny how songs like that become timeless. And I always thought there's just kind of those basic verses, but I've unearthed, you know, over the years that the full versions, like it's an old kind of country tune that goes way back. I mean, and there's like endless verses for that song.
It is. And it's a little bit sad too.
Yeah.
It's quite a lovely song.
Yeah, there you go. So now you mentioned an original song that you had done a cappella. So how early were you writing songs?
I want to say, I want to say that I probably started writing when I was about 11, I would imagine. I had a shoebox that I kept a bunch of pieces of paper that I had collected over the years, all through my teenage years as well, of just different pieces of poetry and things I wrote. That's another thing is I believe I started writing poetry before I started writing anything else. Poetry was always something that I really enjoyed. And I actually ended up going to Laurier for English. And oh, cool. I studied a lot of poetry when I went to university. So
yeah, I was going to ask, I'm always interested and, you know, if people started out writing lyrics or writing poems and then they kind of segued into music and goes into the whole songwriting process too. And maybe that's something we can touch on for you. Do you have kind of a process when you're writing the songs? Does it start with the lyrics or are you kind of doing that country tradition now where you get the title and you kind of work back from the chorus or the hook? Or I mean, what is it? Or is it all different all the time?
Honestly, for me, I think there's probably a bit of a base. Like, I mean, let me start over with that. When I was younger, I think it always started with the lyrics and kind of and I think anytime I'm coming up with lyrics, there's always a bit of a tune in my head, if that makes any sense. And as I learned to play guitar more skillfully as I got older, then it became, you know, the lyrics and the bit of a tune in my head, and very quickly there was music involved because I was able to accompany myself to do that. And so I kind of, as I've built my skill set, now I can layer the lyrics and the music.
Right.
And kind of as I'm doing that writing session, whether it just be with myself or with somebody else, you know, we can talk about, okay, well, you know, when we get to the bridge here and we want to talk about X, Y, and Z, how do we want it to sound? How do we want it to feel? And I think that has just been a growth process from just knowing that I wanted to write to knowing that I wanted to write and play to knowing that I wanted to write and play and record and release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, do you tend to write kind of autobiographically, or there's stories or observations, you know, or based on characters and people in your life, or is it again all kind of different things that inspire the lyrics and the work and the titles and the tunes?
I definitely tend to write autobiographically. I think with some of my new stuff, I'm trying to, like the stuff I'm working on now that I haven't played for anybody yet, I'm trying to branch out a little bit. I really have always been interested in writing a bit more of a story song, you know, a fancy, if you will. Something like that, because those songs have always fascinated me. But I would say I've tended to write autobiographically throughout my life. But I think that's always what I've written best. So,
now what about siblings or maybe on your mom's side of family? Was music there as well, or musicians, singers, songwriters? Are you kind of, is it kind of just grandpa, dad, and you down the line?
So I don't really know if anybody is super, well, super musical necessarily. I guess kind of on my mom's side. So interestingly enough, I don't know if you know who Mark Dineen is.
The name sounds extremely familiar. I'm
so
sure
he's a really talented musician, and he's actually my uncle, but not by blood. So my mom's sister actually married Mark Dineen, who she met through my dad. So my uncle is also musical, and their children are quite musical as well. So Christmas is always a lot of fun.
I bet.
My brother is super talented as well. My brother goes by JSJ in his musical career, and he has released all kinds of different music. If anybody listening, you should really check him out on Spotify. He's really great.
And so now, obviously, your dad coming from country, and there's some country influences in some of the things that you're writing, and some of the people that you're writing with and friends, Jesse T and Carrie. Is it Carrie DeMeyer or Carrie DeMeyer? Am I pronouncing
Carrie DeMeyer.
Carrie DeMeyer? Is country always kind of been at the root of everything, or has there been all sorts of different music? I mean, what were the first songs and artists and bands that inspired you? You mentioned doing the Dixie Chicks on stage at Lulu's. So was it kind of always the country road, or was there other things prior and along the way that shaped things?
I think it definitely started with country. I think because that was what primarily was played in my house. And I did really love the Dixie Chicks, and when I was young, they were quite an inspiring writing influence for me. Like especially because they had a lot of songs about, leaving and playing and being free, like Ready to Run, Wide Open Spaces. Tunes like that just really kind of as a young hippie, I really thought that was the life for me, and so those songs really spoke to me. But as I got a little bit older, I kind of started developing my own music tastes, and I've always loved country. I still do, obviously. But I was huge into punk music and ska music and
No
hard
kidding.
rock
Yeah.
and soft rock and you name it. I had bright pink hair in high school, and I was obsessed with a number of punk bands. I as my dad would call it, my angry music. He would let me listen to it in the car, but for only a period of time, because, as he said, eventually it was making him anxious.
Right.
And I still listen to that music. Like, The Used is one of my favorite bands, and when I'm having a day, I will go for a drive without my toddler and listen to that very, very loudly. So no, I have many different musical influences. I also have always been very influenced by Tom Petty. Tom Petty was always an artist that I have really loved, and I absolutely love his writing. Our Lady Peace is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
I've seen them a number of times and met them a couple times. Stevie Nicks and Joni Mitchell are two women who are just astounding to me. So yeah, some other lists of musical influences for you, I guess.
Some days we turn diamonds into coal. Coming hot and angry, hurling words over our shoulders. All our grace is gone, but there is still hope. Even when the overwhelm, the undertow, just don't wanna let us go. Well, baby, you and I, we know the truth. It's not about the words that leave the safety of our lips. It's sting and burn and hurt way worse than all the stones and sticks. It's the knowing you're not going, even when our times get hard. It's what happens in the space between the hurting and the heart. Walk away but never at the door. The promises we made that day are only getting stronger. Start keeping score. Even when I think I've crossed the line, forgiveness gets there just in time. Well, we both know how much there is to lose. It's not about the words that leave the safety of our lips that sting and burn and hurt way worse than all the stones and sticks. It's the knowing you're not going, even when I in the space between the hurting and the heart.
That was The Hurtin' in the Heart by Katie Topham, co-written with Carrie DeMayer.
It's beautiful. Yeah, you can't go wrong there. I mean, you know, Tom Petty, I think, is so universal. It really doesn't matter what genre of music that you like or listen to. I think his stuff just works. Everything. Awesome. I mean, when I first started getting into him, he was almost considered new wave or kind of, you know, alternative rock or punk rock. But it's just great songwriting. It's really, and then of course, Stevie Nicks. And it's funny, I was just talking to somebody about Joni Mitchell. I mean, she comes up so much now. And I mean, obviously she's 80 years old and there's been anniversaries of some of her amazing albums. But it's somebody I still don't overly embrace or find accessible. I have tons of respect for her, and there's a lot of her songs I like. But I remember, I think it was Brandi Carlile was talking about how she got into her later too. And I think a lot of it, as I was just talking in the previous interview with John, is a lot of people dismiss people because said, well, you know, name five songs by that artist and really have to dig in on people. But I mean, her stuff was just so brilliant, and her guitar playing and those open tunings and things were just incredible as well. But it's funny when you talk about the angry music, and you know, there's a band called the Heartbreakers, not Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but a punk band called the Heartbreakers from the 70s, and they're kind of my go-to when I'm having one of those days and just crank the crap out of that stuff. I can't roll the windows down though, because they're the only album was a live album, and there's a lot of expletives that pop out, so
And it's actually kind of funny, as I got older, in my 20s and stuff, I actually discovered the Grateful Dead in my mid 20s, and I have a Grateful Dead tattoo now, actually.
Oh wow.
And I traveled to Chicago to see their last show in Soldier Field when the lead guitarist of Phish played in place of Jerry Garcia. That was, I stayed on a farm with a bunch of hippies from all over the States. That was a really cool 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah. I always regret I never saw them. I mean, I'm a huge Dylan fan, and my wife and I were in New York years ago, and Dylan and the Dead were playing just across the river in New Jersey. Oh, that's cool. And you know, if we'd stayed through the weekend, we could have saw the show at Meadowlands, but we didn't. So I never got to see them. And I did want to go see them reformed with John Mayer, and then again with Trey Anastasia. I've seen Phish in concert, which is very similar to kind of a Dead experience, I guess. And it's funny, I just bought my first Grateful Dead t-shirt a few weeks ago. Over Christmas. I bought it for myself for Christmas.
It was really cool to see them play with Trey Anastasio, and it would, I would absolutely love to see Dead and Company with John Mayer. I love me some John Mayer. He's quite the guitar player.
He is. Well, you know, and I kick myself because when they first went around, they were playing just a little concert hall kind of tour. Like, there's playing a place down in Buffalo, it's like 600 seats, and I mean, $35 a ticket and something like that. And we were going to go, and then something came up and bumped us. And of course, and then the next time around, now they're kind of getting pretty big and playing the larger venues and things like that. But Mayer's pretty cool. You know, I always joke that there's not much difference between me and John Mayer. He just looks better. He's younger. He sings better. He's got a, you know, he writes better songs. He's a better guitar player, but essentially we're the same guy. So kind of fast forward then. So you get to the point, I mean, you knew at a young age, this is what you want to do. You're writing songs, you're playing guitar. Are you playing other instruments? You write on other instruments, or are you strictly a guitar player?
I'm a guitar player. Yeah. I played the trumpet in high school, and I still have one. I don't ask me to play it for you. It doesn't sound good. I asked for one for Christmas a couple years ago, thinking I could still play that. Oh no, you forget. So I own a trumpet. I have a couple hand drums that I really like to play, and nice. Sometimes we'll play on stage if somebody else is playing guitar. But cool. No, I'm at this point, I'm a guitar player. Yes. Nice.
And do you have a band as well, or are you mostly just playing acoustically, or kind of?
I at this point am just playing by myself, but as things get a little bit bigger and I'm able to get larger gigs, I do have some lovely musician friends who have played on my album, and like Jeremy Williams, who's a brilliant guitar player, who's played on a bunch of my songs, pretty much all of them. He's played a couple shows with me when I've done duos. Nice. And I would definitely get Jeremy to play with me. I've got a few different friends who accompany me from time to time who I could put into a band if I needed.
Cool. And so what do you prefer as far as songwriting, writing on your own or co-writing, or is it kind of just all of it's great. I mean, is there a different process when you're writing on your own versus when you're writing with somebody else?
I really like co-writing. I really like bouncing ideas off of somebody else and kind of getting the input of somebody. I find that when I write by myself, I can get very, how do I say this? I can get very in my own head, and sometimes I'll write something and you know, I'll show it to somebody later and they'll go, what the hell does that mean? and not that it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, like, Train got away with that a lot of the time.
Sure.
They brilliant lyricists. And so I find that it's a little bit different when I write by myself. I get a little bit deeper when I'm by myself, I think. I do have a few songs. I've never actually released anything that I've written all by myself. And I do have a couple songs that I have written alone that I'm really hoping to release. Maybe not on this upcoming album, but my next one. I would say the process is definitely different for sure. I get a little bit deeper by myself. It's a lot quieter for sure. But I really enjoy co-writing. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Good. Well, I look forward to hearing some of the stuff that you've done just on your own. But yeah, the co-writing, I mean, there's some amazing songs that you've got out so far, and some brilliant people that you're working with. And I think you're right. I mean, sometimes it's good to have that other person in the room just to kind of edit and keep you focused and keep you on track. Because sometimes an idea can sound great and you're very insulated. And then you get out there with the idea and people are like, what the crap? And you're like, yeah, I should have.
Exactly. It's, like, oh, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
And it's hard to stand back from your own work. And I mean, I try to do that sometimes and let stuff sit for a day or two and then go back and, oh yeah, no, I should change that line or this needs to, but much easier with somebody in the room. Although I guess you have to have that, that trusting relationship too, because then some people get very, like, I know talking to Matt Whitinger, and he mentioned, during the interview that he's just not very good at the co-writing thing. He, you know, because he always feels like, well, they might not like my idea and then, you know, it's not going to work. So like he's, you know, I mean, to each his own. And I'm kind of a little from column A and column B. I mean, I've got some people I co-write with, and then I've tried it with other people and it just doesn't work. And so
I totally get that. I've also found that as I've become a better guitar player over the years, I've enjoyed writing by myself more.
Yeah,
because I can give more input to my own writing session than I used to be able to, like, musically. So I don't know. I think it depends on a lot of factors for me, but no, I do enjoy co-writing quite a bit. I co-write with Carrie DeMayer a lot, and we've been writing together for a really, really long time. And that's a really trusting friendship as well. So I think that's a huge part of the reason I like co-writing, is the amount that I write with Carrie and other people who are really close to me, who I trust.
Sure. Yeah, it makes all the difference. Yeah. And I think it is partly a growth stage too, as you gain more confidence and kind of explore things, and you will tend to want to do things on your own. I mean, even referencing back to Tom Petty, where, you know, he kind of did those albums that were not necessarily Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They were just Tom Petty, or, you know, working with the Wilburys or whoever. I think it's, but you can always come back to where you were too. I think people get too dug in on it's all or nothing, and then egos or insecurities get in the way. So it's nice that you have those relationships that you can count on, and but still kind of move out on your own if you want as well. So
yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So upcoming events, we talked a little bit before the show, we were trying to figure out the timing of the show, so we're not promoting something that's in the past, but what do you got that you want to talk about? Upcoming releases, upcoming shows?
Well, so the next show I will have will be April 10th at the Moonshine Cafe in Oakville. It'll be my first time doing one of those shows, and I'm super excited about it.
Fantastic.
And in terms of upcoming projects, I mean, I'm hoping by the time this airs, there will be more shows coming up, and I'm sure there will. I've got all my socials that everybody can check, and my website connects to all of them, which is katietopham.ca. Upcoming projects, I'm trying to release some sort of physical material before the end of 2022. The goal is spring, summer. I know I said that last year, but then we got locked down, obviously, more than we thought we were going to. And
right.
that prevented a few things from happening. So I thought it best to wait till this year. So once it's warmer outside and I can have a cooler party, I'm going to release something. In terms of the number of songs, I'm not sure whether it'll be an EP or a full album yet, but there will be something to purchase, and hopefully some fun swag and such come spring, summertime.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Ashes fall on my kitchen floor. I just don't care anymore. Blowing smoke, I'll take one last drag, then crush this thing out nice and slow. Gonna put you out.
That song was called Put You Out by Katie Topham.
All right, as we kind of near the hour, I want to wind things down, and we're going to wrap things up with the 10 questions that were made famous on the Actors Studio by James Lipton and originally developed by Bernard Pivot. So you all ready?
Yes, I'm so excited.
All right,
I love
so there, it's not rapid fire. There's no timer on the clock, but we'll just kind of go through this as you, whatever you're feeling. So, Katie, what is your favorite word?
I would say my favorite word would be genuine.
What is your least favorite word?
Stupid.
Yes. I mean, used in terms of people use it too much, or it's an insult or ignorant, or.
I was brought up. So that was one thing my parents, that was a big thing of my parents. They always taught me stupid was a bad word. You don't ever call anyone stupid. And that was like, specifically, you don't call people stupid. It doesn't matter how you feel about that person. You don't call them stupid.
Right.
And so for me, that was a big no growing up. I was allowed to say a lot of things, but stupid wasn't one of them. And I still, to this day, as an adult, I think that's really important is there can, you know, and even with ideas too. I mean, everybody's got ideas and they've got them for a reason. I just don't particularly think it's a useful word, if that makes any sense.
I agree 100%. And it's funny, as it applies to songwriting, I mean, obviously there's kind of that adage of, you know, if you don't like an idea that somebody presented, you can say, well, that's a good idea, but have you considered this, or how about this? And I think exactly. If we all talk that way around the world, we probably wouldn't have half the problems that we did or
yeah,
do.
I agree.
All right. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally, any or all three?
Openness, I think, probably covers all three of those questions. Yeah.
Perfect. We need more of that as well. And what turns you off?
Narcissism.
Yeah.
just straight up narcissism. I hate it. I can't get over it. Yeah.
There you go. Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I use it far too much. I'm working on that one. My kid's gonna be 2 in April, and he just started talking a little bit more, and he hasn't repeated a bad word yet, but I have a feeling it's coming because my husband and I have not been able to shut it off. So wish us luck.
Yeah. Then it becomes a blame game. I mean, our son's first word was definitely a phrase that I was using a lot, and the minute we heard him utter it, and I think he was maybe a little bit older than your son, maybe about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And my wife just said, that was you. And I said, yes, it was. what sound or noise do you love?
Wind in the trees and in the water.
Ooh, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can picture it already. Very good imagery. What sound or noise do you hate?
Sirens. Like on fire trucks, ambulances, police cars. Those like siren horns that people do at the megaphones that play sirens. They all hurt my ears and I hate them.
Yeah. It's disturbing for sure. what profession other than yours would you like to attempt?
Either independent facilitation, which was something I was actually planning to look into start doing after my son was born. But then the opportunity to release some music came to me and I thought, oh, well, I'll release something and I don't think anything will stick. And then it did. So now I'm doing the music thing and I'm very happy I am doing it. And I'm glad that it's going well. But independent facilitation is something that I've always been really interested in. Either that or something related to gardening.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
I don't want to go to space. I don't want to be an astronaut. No. My husband always chuckles at me when people bring up space. They're like, oh, how cool would it be to go to space? I'm like, I don't want to go to space. And everybody thinks I'm crazy. Like, how cool would that be? And I'm like, no. Have you ever heard how you have to poop in space? Space just seems really uncomfortable and I don't want to go there. And it looks terrifying. Have you ever seen movies where people are in space? Somebody always dies. I don't want to go to space. So, no, I don't want to be an astronaut. I know people are hoping I'll become an astronaut because I'd be great at it. But no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it.
Well, there's enough of them out there. It's funny though. I mean, I'm always envious of it and I always think, oh, the view would be so amazing. But yeah, I'm with you 100%. We were just watching one of those internet videos. My son and I were, they show how you had to wash your hair in space and things like that. It's crazy. It's like, it just doesn't look fun. I think you're right. Uncomfortable is exactly, I think, how it would be.
Yeah. And I don't like being uncomfortable. So I don't want to go to space.
Very good. Yeah. And lastly, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You tried your hardest and you're a really good mom.
Very good. Well, I don't know how you are as a mom, but I know that you're brilliant as an artist and my impressions of you are as a person would lead me to believe that you're a fantastic mom. So I think you're on the right track.
Thank you very much, my friend.
My pleasure. And I got a couple other questions I wanted to ask. I'm just curious. I mean, because you grew up in a musical household with, you know, famous musicians and things like that. So, but who were the people, was there one person that really impressed you more than any other? I mean, brushes with greatness. Was there anybody that you encountered where, you know, maybe dad was jealous with suddenly that.
I know exactly how to answer this question. okay. So there was a certain male country artist named Jason McCoy, who I was just obsessed with as a child. So Jason, not only did I love Jason's music, but he was friends with my dad. And so when he would come to stuff, like, Jason was always, he's an awesome guy and he was super nice to me and he would like hang out with me. And, so at one point I think I was the president of his fan club or something, or a chapter of his fan club or something. There was an article about me. Do you remember that? There was like a magazine they used to send out. It was the Country Music Magazine, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like a little paper magazine they used to send out monthly. And I was on the cover of that. Or there was at least an article about me being part of Jason's fan club. So yes. And that, yeah, that's really, I still talk to Jason. So that's a really cool one. Yeah. I awesome. Jason McCoy is a wonderful human being, but he definitely was very impressive to me, growing up. And actually, Beverly Mahood, Giselle, and Stacey Lee Gousset were all very impressive to me growing up as well. They were in a band at the time called Lace when I was young.
Okay.
And all three of them really powerful, beautiful, amazing female singers, who I still know. So yeah, those are people who stand out to me for sure.
That's awesome. Stacey Lee actually sang on one of my songs too. I got her to do a guest vocal on one of my songs on my album. So that was
thrilling.
Song called Walking Away. And we'd originally, so she does just some beautiful harmonies on there. It's really amazing. So,
very cool. Hopefully get a chance Stacey's a beautiful singer. Yeah,
she really is. Favorite concert, or would that be Jason McCoy as well? Or is there a.
Actually, honestly, I think the coolest show, so I think maybe it's a tie. So when I went to see the Grateful Dead, I didn't actually have tickets to the show. I just went to Chicago and I stayed on this farm that these people owned. It was like a horse farm. It was beautiful. And they actually pay-per-viewed the show and displayed it on the inside of the barn. And it was humongous. So I got to watch it, like, and they had lasers and a smoke show. So that was a pretty cool concert, even though it wasn't live.
That would be amazing.
But it was pretty neat. In terms of actual concerts that I was actually physically at, I saw Paul McCartney once. Yeah. And that was a really great show. He sang for 3 hours straight without stopping. And like, he was insanely sweaty and he still sounded awesome. And I love Paul McCartney. That was a good show.
Yeah, he's amazing. I noticed he's gearing up for a tour. I'm kind of tempted to go see him again. That was a mind-boggling one for me too. And it was cool because I went with my girlfriend at the time, but I also got to bring my parents. And, you know, Beatles, Elvis are kind of those crossover points with us. I mean, otherwise they're into a lot of, you know, big band and old music, which I love too, but I was more of a rock pop guy. And so the Beatles were kind of our overlapping connection. My mother's favorite song was Long and Winding Road, which he played that night, which was fantastic. So
I went to the Beatles with both my parents too, and the funny thing about that is they were divorced when we all went. Like just because they're friends, obviously. Yeah. I went with both my parents too. It was a really cool night. It was a lot of fun.
That's really neat. Yeah. And last question I've got, I'm curious, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh geez, well, what day is it? No. Oh, you know, that is, I really hope, like, here but with more money.
That's a beautiful answer. That's brilliant.
Yeah, honestly, basically that's my answer, as silly as that sounds. I spent a number of years in my 20s kind of messed up. I have an interesting past personally, and I'm doing really well now. I love my husband. My son is awesome. I like my house. I like living in Kitchener. I like where we are. I really don't have a lot of complaints. I'm really glad that I get to play music for a living. But obviously, you know, the economy is really funny right now. COVID's made everything really funny. You know, gas prices are rising, which is interesting. Grocery prices are rising. Everything's, I mean, there's a lot of turmoil happening in the world. I could list the number of things, but I don't think we have time. I hope things are a little more peaceful for not me, but everyone in 5 years. I hope that I can keep making music as my primary job. I hope I'm still doing that in 5 years when my son starts school and, you know, I don't have a kid to watch during the day. I hope I still get to do this rather than having to go back to work full time. You know, I would like to keep moving onward and upward with this career. But other than that, I hope not much changes because I'm pretty happy.
Good for you. Well, that's a blessing to be in a place where you're happy. And it's funny because people say, you know, money won't buy happiness. And I say, well, no, but when you've got everything that makes you happy, a lot of money or a little bit more money would certainly make it easier and make it better. So,
well, exactly. And it's not, and you know, and for me, it's not about, you know, I mean, would it be like really cool to be like the musical guest on SNL famous? Yeah, sure it would. But at the same time, you know, just to have enough income as a musician to be able to do what I love and take care of my family, I think is that's the goal at the end of the day. Right.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's great catching up, and hopefully we can meet in person again like we did the first time that we met and have a beer together and get a chance to see you play live. Thank you so much, Katie Topham, for doing Musicians FAQ this week.
You are welcome, Stuart. Thank you so much for having me, and I am looking forward to sitting down and having that beer with you.
Sounds great. Enjoy your day.
You too.
Thank you.
Seem to lose. It's more take than give with you. Lost and found, words go round, standing up and back and down. That's all we do. You don't have to ask me to stay, 'cause I ain't walking. I just don't feel like loving me today. Don't feel like loving you today. Hey, 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 hey. You know what I need to do? Call someone that isn't you. Getting high, drinking wine, hanging out and wasting time with your girlfriend and you. Baby, there's still love left in me. Loving you today. Doesn't matter what you do or say. I'm gonna give my heart a break. I know just what it's gonna take. I just don't feel like loving you today.
Hey, this is Katie Topham, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo with your host, Stuart McKee.
It was just the other day, said we were here to stay. You'll be here by noon to sweep me off my feet. Noon turned to 5 o'clock, got your text, said we need to talk. Plans changed again, please wait for me. On any given day, I can be a crier, but today I'll save my tears, 'cause you're a real good liar. You make me tired. What's a girl like me to do with this painful residue? I can't make this work.
so tired. I can't find angry anymore. Must have followed you right out the door. Unpredictable. Don't miss the push, but I miss the pull. I can never tell where you want me to be. I'm pretty good at starting fights, but tell me, does that give you the right to leave without a word or an apology? Maybe I'm all done being a crier. Once the tears dried up, I could tell you're still a damn good liar. Make me tired. What's a girl like me to do with this painful residue? I can't make this work for you. I'm so tired. I can't find angry anymore. I must have followed you. Work for you.
All right, a couple back-to-back songs with Katie Topham. The first one was I Just Don't Feel Like Loving You. That was actually co-written with her dad, Jamie Warren. And the second one is called Tired. Another amazing song. This one was written by Carrie DeMayer. I got one more song for you today by Katie, and that's going to wrap up our show. What an absolute pleasure it was talking to you. Such a great person, such an amazing talent, such a beautiful singer. If you got a chance to see her live, make sure you do that. Can't wait for that album to come out. And this last song by Katie Topham is called Haven't Done That in a While. Thanks for tuning in to Musicians FAQ this week. Don't forget we're also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. We're here every Monday morning at 10 a.m. and I look forward to having you back again.
Haven't been myself since Thursday. I thought you ought to know. Maybe it's been longer. I just need to talk things over, try to sort it out with someone who understands. And she smiled at me and said, I knew that he was dumb. He was always the lucky one. Days since you've been gone. Your voice out. inside is brilliant this time of year. So maybe you and I could go there. We could disappear. We had so many plans, but you crushed them in your hands. A real man would have broke the news himself. They tell me you're somewhere in California, watching all the pretty girls go by. How dare you be somewhere belongs to